Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Bright sunshine and bright smiles. Welcome to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm Associate Pastor of Students and Families here, and we are glad that you have decided to join us this morning for worship. We want to get a record of your attendance this morning, and on every pew there is a pew pad. We invite you to take that out and record your attendance and that you are a part of worship this morning. We ask guests that you fill out all the information that you feel comfortable filling out, and name, address, and email, phone number, and check any boxes that apply. But also we ask that if you're a member, that you just fill out your name, check any boxes that apply, and just any changed information. This would help us get to make sure we have the current contact information for you and find out who was in worship today. We ask that you send that down to the end of the pew, and when it reaches there, we ask that whoever's on the end to send it back where it started. This way we can get to know each other. We invite our members to take a peek. If there's a guest on your pew, find out who they are and introduce yourself at the end of service. Several announcements that I'll make this morning as we get started. The children will be coming down for our children's time right after the first hymn. And so we invite you to come and meet Raymond down here for that. Also, they will be coming in and waving palm branches here in a few moments. That's an exciting part of our service this morning. We do remind you that our afternoon schedule is pretty normal, except for there is no youth choir rehearsal. But everything else will go on as planned. It is Holy Week. Therefore, we will not have services this Wednesday, but we will have services this Thursday. The serving line opens for Family Night Supper at 5:30, and 7 o'clock is the Maundy Thursday service. Just a reminder to the choir that the bulletin says you'll be rehearsing Wednesday night. Actually, you will be rehearsing Thursday night after the service, so just make that one change. We also are in need of worship nursery helpers. If you're able to help us out, we invite you to see Lori Coggle and see how you can fill in that great need that we have for worship nursery workers. Other announcements that are going on we've got a special event for our children this Saturday from 10 until 12. The Easter egg hunt for our toddlers through our second grade. We invite you to come and be a part of that. Everybody comes at 10, and we have egg hunts, and we have things to give away, and a good time together in Smith Hall. Remind our youth that I need a little bit of help setting up for that, so we'd like for you to be here at 10 o'clock on Friday morning, if at all possible. I think that's all of our announcements that I've got here. Do want to say a very special welcome to our guest this morning. We have gotten to know you a little bit about with the pew pads that you've just passed by and put your name and information in, but we have something we would like to give to you. If you're a guest this morning, we invite you to raise your hand. Our ushers there are coming down the aisles now. They have a newsletter, and inside this newsletter, it's a great way to find out about College Park and all the things that are going on. So we invite you to take one of these, just raise your hand, take a newsletter. And this way you can find out things that are going on in the life of our church. Many things from preschool to College Parkers and everybody in between. College Park is a wonderful place to worship and to serve, and we appreciate the opportunity to worship with you this morning. I think that's all the announcements that we have. It is time for us to worship, and it is Palm Sunday as we come to celebrate the coming of Christ and what he did on the cross and the ultimate resurrection. We invite you to begin our worship by standing for our invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
From the house of the Lord, we bless you.
The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us. With branches in hand, join in the festal procession to the altar.
You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
You may be seated.
Glory, Lord, and honor to thee, redeemer King.
Pray with me. Father, on this glorious day, we pause to celebrate the coming of our Savior. We take this time to gather our hearts together to worship Your name. For Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one who has come to save us from our sins. And so we give Him praise and glory. And we celebrate who He is and what He has done. May all that is done in this worship be done to glorify Your name, not ours, but Yours and Yours alone. Let everything that is done, every song that is sung, every word that is spoken, be done for You. For it is in You that we find purpose. It is in You that we find salvation. It is in You we find eternal life. This is Your hour. May You be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay. So we have palm branches this morning. We sure do. Some of you got to make those with your own hands. You know, that's a reminder to us that we serve our God with what we do and the things we say. Now, you've heard the story of Jesus coming in on the donkey, right? Riding in on the donkey on Palm Sunday. I want to read it to you one more time because there's a point I want to make in here. That, you know, remember that the disciples went ahead and they found a colt and they untied it. And it says, many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they'd cut in the fields. Why do you think they put their coats and branches on the road? Why would they do that? It's a good question, isn't it?
No idea.
Yes, sir.
They're praying for Jesus.
They are planning for Jesus.
Praying.
Praying for Jesus. Okay, they're praying for Jesus. You have any other ideas? Why would they? Well, let's read on a little bit. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they cut in the field. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. What does Hosanna mean?
Jesus?
What else? You got another translation? Hosanna? Yes, any others? God? Well, I went back and looked it up. And Hosanna is actually a Hebrew expression which meant save. So I guess you're both right. Because Jesus came to save us, right? God sent Jesus to save us. But the problem is a lot of people think that Jesus came to save them from the military power of Rome. And so they were expecting him to save them from Rome. But he came to save us from our own sin, right? So when we shout Hosanna, when we say Hosanna, we should be thinking that God sent Jesus to save us from our sin. Okay, so Hosanna then is an exclamation of praise. So as they put their cloaks on the road, and as they put the palm branches on the road, they were treating him as royalty. And they were lowering the dust and keeping the dirt off of him so he could come through on clean ground. That's the way they did royalty. That's the way they welcomed people who were important. Okay, so we need to remember that God is an important part of our life. And when we say Hosanna, we're thinking about Jesus coming to save us from our sin, okay? That's why he came. Let's pray about it. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, Palm Sunday, where we can shout Hosannas and sing praises to you and give thanks to you for your son, Jesus. We pray now that as each of us begins this week that we call Holy Week, that we would reflect on how much you've done for us. The fact that you sent Jesus. The fact that he died for our sins. And Father, we pray that would lead us to serve him more completely. Accept him with our heart and then serve him with our hands and our feet and with our mouth. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Go back to your seat. Everybody, go back to your seat.
Thank you. Our scripture lesson this morning begins in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, the 50th chapter and verses 4 and 9. Please feel free to follow along either in your own Bibles or in the pew Bibles located in front of you. Hear the word of God. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? And next from the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. In this time of Lent and traveling on the road to Easter, we have talked about the importance of coming to the throne of God, of seeking forgiveness from God and confessing our sins so that we may understand our imperfection in the context of God's perfection and his gift for us. Let us enter into a time of silent confession, and I encourage you to take these next few moments in silence to bow your head. It's a time of quiet and silent confession as we go to the Father. Meet God now.
We confess all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask for forgiveness. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Scripture tells us in 1 John 1 that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Especially verse 9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sin. Maybe I'm a simple person, but when something is that direct in God's word, I believe it. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sin. That is the assurance of the pardon that God offers for us.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so thankful for this beautiful springtime of year. We enjoy all the beauty that you have created in the flowers and the trees and the shrubs and all the new beginnings, Lord, that we see around us. We are especially thankful for this day, for this Sunday when we can come to your house to worship and celebrate especially today, Lord, Palm Sunday, when you made your triumphant ride into Jerusalem. We know you went through a lot this coming week, Lord, and we will relive those events throughout this week. May they be especially meaningful to us. May we dwell on them and remember what you went through for us. And then may we come back rejoicing next Sunday when we remember your glorious resurrection and what that means to us. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross to forgive us of our sins. Thank you for your glorious resurrection and the assurance that we have that we can be in heaven with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Palm Sunday. It can be kind of a confusing day if you think about it. Today may be perhaps one of the hardest days in the entire church year on which we affirm the faith that we kind of claim as our own. It's a little confusing for us because we're invited to consider the ambivalence that Christians have always shown. An ambivalence that welcomes the one who is radiant truth incarnate with shouts of Hosanna and waving of palm branches. We do that one minute, but in the back of our mind, we're thinking toward Friday when we know what's going to happen. So it's a confusing day for the church. We're asked to wrestle with our own sense of discomfort and the challenging mandate that Jesus gave us, and struggle with our own discipleship. What does it mean? What does Palm Sunday really mean? What does Palm Sunday mean in light of what we know the week will bring? The story of this day and the story of this week is not about other people in another time and another place. The story is about us. It reveals the full reality of our own spiritual journey, where we are headed, what our journey to the cross means for us. It has moments of deep, abiding commitment to holiness. And on the other hand, sometimes there's kind of a faint-heartedness that leads us to deny our principles. It leads us to deny our Lord in times of trial. Not once, not twice, not three times as Peter, but over and over and over again, daily, numerous times. So how do we deal with that? And in the midst of this story, if you read through the Gospel of Mark, it's interesting that he devotes six chapters really to the final week and beyond. Six whole chapters. Mark's not that long of a book. But yet he commits six chapters to this week and the events beyond. So how do we read the story of the Passion of Christ? The story I'm going to read this morning is kind of a snapshot. It's a little story within a very large story. And sometimes we pass completely by it. We read it because it's there, but we read it just, it's just background material. We want to get on to the real meat of the story, so we kind of blow right on by this story. But because we're entering Holy Week, we need to read this story. And I want to submit that maybe it's one of the most important parts of the story of the Passion of the Christ. And I want us to linger here for a few moments today. And hopefully it will stay with you in the days to come in this week. I'll be reading from Mark chapter 14. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them.
They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. It's important for us to remember that all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels include stories that I think are pivotal. Pivotal moments in the life of Jesus because he encountered and treated with respect women. These were events that were very dramatic because they illustrated the dramatic and revolutionary nature of Jesus and his ministry. Think, for instance, about the wedding in Cana. Do you remember the story? Mary comes to Jesus and, you know, the host of the wedding is in kind of a tight spot because they're running out of wine. And so Mary comes to Jesus and asks for help. Now, you remember initially he rebukes her or rebuffs her. But then he does what she asks. And that's his first recorded miracle. Think of the meeting that Jesus had with the persistent Canaanite woman who was begging him to heal her child. And the dynamics that surrounded that event. Think of the meeting of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. And how that led to Jesus reaching into a whole village. Samaria. The rejected brothers and sisters. They were rejected by God's chosen people. But yet Jesus reaches out through the woman at the well. Each of these stories describes a liminal moment in Jesus, in his ministry here, where he revealed himself to us. He revealed himself to the people that were there. And he revealed to them what he is trying to teach, the nature of his message. Here again in this story, we see another one of these aha moments, where Jesus reveals a part of his ministry, what he's trying to teach. He's sitting there, and he's having dinner. He's in Bethany, and the text leads us to believe that this was with friends. These were with people that he knew. But nothing about the dinner seems particularly fraught until this woman, this unnamed woman, comes into the room, opens a jar of ointment, perfumed ointment, and pours it on top of his head. Now, I've been in discussions where people wanted to quibble about the nuances of the Greek text here. Every translation I read says, she poured it on his head. Then say, well, she dabbed a little bit on his forehead or smeared a little bit in his hair. She poured it on his head. The whole jar. Verse 3 says that. She poured it on his head. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anything poured on your head. I recall about 3 or 4 years ago when we were in Kentucky. And I was eating. And one of our college students was just kind of messing around. And through the events that transpired, he accidentally poured some orange juice on my head. That was not a particularly good moment for me or him. It's startling. You don't expect it to happen. Imagine sitting there eating and having a whole jar perfumed ointment poured onto your head. Now, we know that this was in preparation for burial. The text tells us that. When the NIV translates said it was made of pure nard, it was ointment, perfumed ointment, that was for the express purpose of preparation for burial. Imagine having that dumped on your head. Based on my past experiences, I believe I would have been startled, to say the least. But imagine the rest of the people that were there. What was their reaction? Did they jump up and they go over to try to help Jesus, help clean it up, you know, and take care of him and show concern for him? No. The text does not say that. The text says that people were angry. Why were they angry? Well, they were probably angry most of all for the interruption. Who is this woman? What is she doing here? And why is she doing? We've been interrupted. There were others that scolded the woman. Jesus, meanwhile, is sitting there, and this ointment is spreading down through his hair, the sides of his face, running down onto his neck, perhaps onto his shoulders.
and into the noise and the babble of these people complaining, objecting, whining, Jesus said, stop! Leave her alone. Then in silence, he makes a statement about the action of this woman. He says, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for my burial. Now, because of the context of this story, I suspect that perhaps the majority of us have never really stopped to think about what a powerful witness that this woman had. She's perhaps the first person who believed what Jesus was saying would happen when he encountered the authorities. She's the first person that I can find in Scripture who publicly and visibly acknowledges the imminent death of Jesus. Scripture says she did what she could. Jesus honored that. She cannot stop him. She cannot try to save him, but she can show that she has listened to them. She can show that she listened and that she really heard him. She truly heard what he was saying, and she caught what he was saying. She can honor him. She can grieve him. She can prepare him for burial. She can do it in such a way that Jesus knows that she truly cares about him. Jesus is not wasting time here. She is not someone who is wasting time. She's not wasting time quibbling about what Jesus might mean through what he has said. She's not one who is trying to understand what Jesus says. She just hears him and accepts what he says. Sometimes we spend too much time quibbling. We spend too much time getting anxious because what Jesus said makes us feel uncomfortable. This woman dares to pay attention, and she risks believing what Jesus said. Then she acts on what she believes. If Jesus had any doubts, if in some way he thought perhaps that this cup might pass from him, this unnamed woman disabuses that. In her response, she offers to him her own strength in order to match his resolve that he would need for the week to come, to support him in his coming passion. And in Mark's gospel, her action and Jesus' recognition of it set in motion the crucifixion.
See, as we enter in this story, we see this snapshot. There's multiple layers for this week. I would invite us to pause with this unnamed woman and ask what we can offer. Maybe we can ask what she offers in terms of a model of discipleship for us. 2,000 years later, I think it's very easy for us to be lulled by the narcotic of superficial piety. In truth, if we're honest with ourselves, the crucifixion can become routine. We can take it for granted. And instead of facing the reality of the cross, we hurry ahead to the divinity, the resurrection, the things that we like to celebrate. Because seeing the crucifixion is uncomfortable. And it forces us to experience the deep awareness of the pain of our Savior. But this unnamed woman, she didn't do any of that. She didn't sit around and talk about what Jesus might mean. She didn't get deflected by plans or possibilities. She entered straight to the heart of the matter, and she prepared Jesus for his death. Not only did this woman transform that day and that place for Jesus, I think she challenges us to remember that Jesus told us he died and will die every time any of us, the least of us, is sacrificed on the cross of power. Jesus dies every time because of our ignorance, because of our pride, because of our greed, because of our inaction. She challenges us to believe that Jesus is dying and to dare to do what we can. Scripture says Jesus told her she did what she could. She challenges us to claim our own power through the Holy Spirit to make a difference during this coming week, during this coming year. She made the only difference that she could thousands of years ago. We have that opportunity today, tomorrow, and in the days to come. I want to challenge you to follow her humble example. Let's pray together. Dear Father, in the quietness of this moment, we confess that we're not what you've created us to be. Because we take things into our own hands. We're prideful people who seek to control our own destiny. We're prideful people who don't fully understand the impact of the death of your Son. Father, we pray that we would completely surrender ourselves to make Jesus Lord indeed, not just Lord in name. Father, we pray as we do that, that you will strengthen us and give us courage through the Holy Spirit to follow the example of this woman who did what she could to honor Christ, even at the risk of ridicule and scorn. She did what she could to honor her Savior. We pray for the courage to do the same. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, we want to give you an opportunity. Perhaps you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. We want to give you that clear invitation this morning that Jesus Christ died for you, has an unbelievable plan for your life, and wants to be your Lord and Savior. We want to give you a chance this morning to accept that invitation. We will be here at the front, be glad to talk with you, be glad to speak with you following the service if you would prefer to do it then. That's fine. Perhaps you'd like to join this fellowship. We invite members by many different ways and be glad to talk with you about all those ways we receive guests and members. If you are in a position where maybe you feel like you need a rededication, where you need to recommit yourself to Christ, to be totally sold out to Him, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You can certainly do that where you're seated or standing.
or you can come and share that publicly, whatever your wishes may be and whatever you feel like you need to strengthen your relationship with Christ. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Standing, please. I have something of deep spiritual announcement. Somebody will not go home unless you have these. If you have misplaced your keys, they'll be on the front pew here. So it could be a spiritual moment for you if you walk out and you don't have your keys. So I want to make these available to you. I also want to let you know, if you are looking for a tangible way that you can express the love of Christ this week, we have an opportunity for you. We've been telling you about the resources that we have out in the Information Center, The Greatest Sacrifice, which is a Lenten guide. You've got a week to catch up. If you do four a day, you'll be right on track, okay? The Greatest Sacrifice, and also God's Sacrifice for You, which is a book that you can hand to someone who's not a believer and give them an opportunity to find out the nature of what Easter is really about. And this is a great week to do that. It'll be a lot of talk about Easter, so this will be a good chance for you to take that opportunity. And then there's also some New Testaments. A couple people ask about New Testaments for giveaways. We have those at the Information Center. He did this just for you. It's a New Testament that's in the New King James Version. It's easy to read. There's also devotional guides in the back for new believers. You can give this to someone and follow up with them, and they'll have an opportunity maybe to receive Christ and then have several weeks of devotionals in the back specifically designed for new believers. So they're no charge to you. If you will take them and give them to someone who needs them, that's all we ask, okay? All right. We also invite you to come back tonight, our live service. We'll be talking about forgiving ourselves, forgiving yourself. Sometimes we accept God's forgiveness, we're able to forgive other people, but then we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And we'll talk about that tonight, so I invite you to come back for life at 7 o'clock. Hear now this benediction from God's Word. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.